The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, the first six verses, found on page 1296 in your Bibles. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 6. Here we read God's word. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who was ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh, the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does. Before we open this, let us pray together. Our Father, we come before your presence now, and I pray for our brother Russ, who was taken out of the service. Lord, I pray for him and Doris. And Lord, bless the word which is preached today. Grant your wisdom and the anointing of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Peter is very concerned about how the people to whom he's writing, how they live. It's very important how we live. Our life is to be a testimony. How we live reflects who we are. The Apostle Peter in chapter 4 is still connecting what he is saying to 3 verse 15, chapter 3 verse 15, where Peter says, "But sanctify Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord, and be ready always to give an answer to anyone who would ask you a reason for the hope you have, with meekness and respect." So that is a call for us to witness. But what Peter is saying is that our life has to provide a means by which a question is asked of us: why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you live the way you do? In the fourth verse of this fourth chapter, he says, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. Now, malign means criticize, make fun of you, run you down. Peter is concerned about how his people live, that when they don't live the way they used to, that those who live that way malign them, criticize them, poke fun of them, mock them, call them goody-goody two-shoes. They look down on them because they are not doing what the community does. They are not living the way they used to live. There's been a change in their behavior. And now Peter says, be ready to give an answer to someone who sees a change in the way you live. A change in your attitude, a change in your in the way you talk, and in how you conduct your lives, on how you spend the Lord's day. They see a change. You're not the same as you used to be. And they want to know why. What's going on? Why are you the way you are? Is there a reason? Do you think you're better than we are? And so those kind of questions come. Why are you what you are? And the Lord says to us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then not malign you, but glorify the God who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So how you live is very important. You have to give a reason for how you live. And Peter says, this is how you have to live. You have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who will direct your ways. He's the one, as I said to the children, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who shows us the way. He's the one who directs our thoughts. The Apostle Paul says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts have to be like Jesus. Now this is what Peter says. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. With the same way of thinking. Now that's exactly how we have to do it. We have to follow Jesus in his thinking, in his attitude, in his actions, and in his approval. We follow him, first of all, in his thinking, because thinking is basic, is fundamental. Like I said, as a person thinks, so is he. It all starts from our mind. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, with regard to your mind, with regard to your thinking, we have to have our minds on the right thing. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but by the transformation, by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's by the renewing of your mind. Our mind is very basic. Our mind is the concentration point of our whole being. Our mind is described by our heart. For example, in Proverbs 4:21, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are all of the issues of life. The heart, the mind. And so the Apostle Peter says, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking as Jesus did. Now what it brought about with Jesus is that his life brought about his suffering. It brought about his suffering. He entered into this world, and his mind, his whole attitude was concentrated on the Lord Jesus Christ. It was concentrated on Father, his Father. He even said this when he was 12 years old, as they were, his parents and mother was saying, why did you cause us all this trouble as we were gone and you, we couldn't find you? He said, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? That was his whole attitude of life, to be about his Father's business. I came to do the will of my Father. Psalm 40 describes that, where it says, My wish is to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. That is what my will is. I come to do the will of my Father. That was his thinking. His thinking was concentrated on his Father. He came to do his Father's will. Now that's the thing we've got to arm ourselves with. Now when Peter says, arm yourself with that, he is using a figure from military or police work, and that is that we have to have equipment. We have to have equipment that concentrates on why we're here. And we're here for Jesus' sake. We're here for the sake of the Lord. We're here to glorify God. As the confession, the Westminster Confession says in its very first question, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief purpose of man? It's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's got to be what we've got to arm ourselves with. That is what holds us together. That equips us for living. So we must arm ourselves with the kind of thinking that Jesus did. That thinking. And Jesus' thinking was theocentric. It was for his Father. That's why he was doing what he was doing. I am here for God's sake. That's why Jesus, when he taught us to pray, the very first petition is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is the purpose of Jesus' life, to hallow the Father's name. And that's what we have to do too. We have to hallow the Father's name. We have to follow the Lord's will. So arm yourself in the same way of thinking. So our thinking has to be controlled. Our thinking has to be controlled. Our thinking has to be directed to the will of God. His law, His word has to be uppermost in our hearts. And then the Apostle Peter says, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, that is difficult to understand, because in a certain sense, no one has ceased from sin. But the next sentence, Peter really explains what he's talking about when he says, ceased from sin so as to live the rest of your life no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. So when our lives are centered on Jesus Christ, centered on the will of God, we cease from sinning the way the world does. Cease from sinning controlled by human passions. And then he fleshes that out. And what does he mean by human passions? Sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. Those six characteristics are the characteristics of human passions. That's the way the world lives. That's the way people lived before they were converted, before they changed. They used to live just for themselves, live for their own pleasures. Wine, women, and song. Do as you please. Live the way you want to live, with no inhibitions, with just doing what you want to do. Just do it. That's how the world lives. The Apostle Peter says that's not the way Jesus did, and that's not how we have to. That we have to live the way Jesus did. We have to arm ourselves with his way of thinking. That way of thinking has to control us. And then the actions of our Lord Jesus. His actions. The time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Living in those six different categories. And then his next sentence is this. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. You see, they notice it. Do you know that you and I are observed by our community? We are watched. You are watched by your neighbors. I'm watched by my neighbors. We're watched. And we're listened to. And they hear you talk. And they hear you talk and they see how you live at your work. And they know when there's a difference. And they don't like it. Because a difference in your life and their life, it points out that they are not what they ought to be. And they don't like it. They don't like it. And it's hard to be different. But for the child of God, we are called to be different. We are called to arm ourselves with the kind of thinking that Jesus did. And our life is to be lived according to that pattern. And the pattern which the Lord set for us is the way we have to live. Take my life, as the soloist sang this morning, take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them fall in endless praise. It is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, the year-round, that's how we have to live. And all of us have to live that way, and all of us have to confess that we fall short. I will start that right now. I fall short. And we have to pray every day, Lord, forgive my sin. Forgive my weakness. Oftentimes we are afraid to stand up for what we know is right. What Paul said is so true for every one of us. The good that I would do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. What a wretched man that I am, says Paul. And that's exactly how we feel too. We fail. And when we fail, we are a poor witness. And the world, the worldly people who do not have a Christian faith and who live the way they just plain want to live, they are watching us. And if there's no difference between us and them, they feel quite comfortable with that. But if there is a difference, I remember when we were living in Holland, Michigan. I was pastor at Central Avenue Church, and we had rented a cottage on Big Star Lake. And so our whole family was excited about going there. And we spent the week, maybe it was 2 weeks there, and we got back. And we went to the grocery store, and the guy who was the meat man was a member of our church. And he said to me, when we got back from vacation, he said, "Well, you passed the test." I said, "What do you mean I passed the test?" He said, "You were at Big Star Lake, and the people that had the cottage next to you, who owned that cottage, they work at this store too. And they found out that the preacher was going to be in a cottage next to them. And they said, let's watch. Let's watch whether the preacher is going to observe the Sabbath day, or whether his kids are going to go swimming just like the rest of the community, whether they're going to actually get up and get out and go to church." And so I saw him when we got back from vacation, and he said, "Hey, you passed the test." Because, of course, Sunday was special for us. Not because I was a preacher. No, that wasn't the reason why Sunday was special for us. It was special for us because the Lord says, keep the Sabbath day holy. And so we brought up our children that way from their very earliest days. That on Sunday we didn't go swimming, we didn't take the boat out, we didn't go fishing. We went to church, not once, but twice. That's how we just did it. That's how our children were brought up. And so we got back to the grocery store, and he said, "Hey, you passed the test." That was a lesson for us. We're observed. You are observed. Your neighbors know that you're in church today. Your neighbors know that you are marching to a different drummer than many people are. You're marching according to the drummer of Jesus Christ. He is calling the cadence that you and I have to follow. And it starts with our mind. Our mind has to be set on those things that are above where Christ is. Is it always easy? No, it is not always easy. When we moved to California, our boys were in Little League. They were in Little League baseball. And they were all good at it too. And their coach said, "The next practice is going to be on Sunday." And so our boys came and said to us, "What about it?" We said, "No, we go to church on Sunday. We're not involved in professional athletics or even semi-pro or even organized sports. We go to church." They were looked down upon. They were mocked a little bit. But our kids said, "No, we don't do that." This is a challenge for every family. We all have to stand for what we know is right. The knowledge, the mind has to control how we live. And the Apostle Peter says this is how you have to live. Not necessarily easy. There's going to be suffering involved. Do you think that Jesus suffered? He surely did. And so arm yourself with that way, same way of thinking. And when it comes to the end, listen to what Peter says. We are all going to be judged. Judged in the flesh the way we are there, that we might live in the Spirit the way God does. So we have to realize, and everyone does too, that we're accountable. You and I are accountable for how we live. And that accountability really comes down to the fact that there's a judgment coming. I talked to someone who said that his income tax and the IRS gives him an audit every single year. Now, if the IRS calls you and wants to do an audit of your income, now that's a scary thing, because they have power, a lot of power. And so we have to be careful. We have to be honest. Now, it may be that you're never audited. But one thing is for sure, we're all going to be audited by the Lord when it comes to the end of our days. That's the evaluation. That's the approval we want from the Lord Jesus. That He looks at us at the end of our days, and we come and appear before Him, and we hear His evaluation. And may it be, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. That is the evaluation that each one of us just really want. And that evaluation is the approval of the Lord. Everyone, every human being will be evaluated. Everyone will have to give an account. You will, I will. But do you know what is the most wonderful thing of all? Is that for those who are in Christ Jesus, when that evaluation is made, that final evaluation, the Lord Jesus will stand at our side and say, I have covered his sin. I have covered her sin. My blood is over them. That is the most wonderful thing. And that's why we can have confidence. That's why we can say, I am not my own, but I belong with body and soul to my faithful Savior. And He's going to stand by my side, not because I've done so great, but because I have such a great Savior. That He is the one who's paid the price and set me free. That's why that beautiful song is our song. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. That's our only hope. in the blood and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He covers us. Like we have in communion, you take and eat. Remember and believe that the precious body of Christ was broken and His blood was shed for a complete forgiveness of all of our sins. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts today. Forgive our sins. Guide and lead us by your Spirit. I pray for our dear brother Russ. In Jesus' name, amen.